Who were you before you lost your wild self?
That's what we're helping you explore on the Tend Her Wild podcast.
Through questions and tools around how best to listen to your inner voice,
rewild ourselves, and live the most authentic life where we thrive instead of survive.
I'm Betsy.
And I'm Kate.
And we're so glad you've joined us for this episode.
Hello, Tend Her Wild listeners. For season two, we want to hear from you. We want to ask that you email us or call us and leave us a voice message sharing your story, your questions, the topics you want to hear more about, or your thoughts on rewilding and living your authentic life. To reach us, you can email us at tendherwild@gmail.com or call us at 319-354-354. 4062 and leave us a message. We'll even play your question live on our show.
Hi, podcast listeners. It's Kate and I today, and we decided to circle back around regarding a topic, but from a slightly different angle that we discussed in episode 20, which was about the balance of our inner masculine and feminine energies. Kate brought this to my attention. Hi, Kate, by the way.
Hi.
Kate brought this to my attention recently, and I feel like it's such a good place for us to land today, which is that it seems like our world is getting more and more contrasted. Mm-hmm. And we can see this across politics. We can see this, you know, on all the different systems, but that we are in a place where there's so many beautiful things in terms of women's progress. Yeah. And then we're seeing all this light, we're seeing all this progress. And then the flip side is also true. We're seeing all this dark and all these challenges as well. So we wanted to kind of talk about it. We both have some different perspectives on it to share. And then we want to land again in this idea of this, how can we as humans and a culture find this deeper balance between the masculine energy and the feminine energy?
Yeah. Once we started talking about it, all these examples started to kind of come through of like, oh, yes, that would fall in the light category. That's progress. And then the things that are more challenging. So there's a yin and yang happening right now that I sometimes makes my head spin a little bit, if I'm honest, where I just can't quite believe that's happening at the same time that this is happening.
I think that that's actually what's absolutely happening is because things are getting so extreme in the culture. We're seeing this extreme light in terms of women's power and how they're showing up. But then we're seeing the absolute backlash against mm-hmm. that as well. So it's like we're moving into these levels of extreme now that I think we want to articulate and then hopefully navigate a little bit about what do we do around this. I mean, I always feel like the first step is getting awareness. And then the second step is, okay, now how do we move through this? So why don't you talk about what you're seeing, especially Kate has an obsession with basketball, women's basketball. And so let's let you talk about women's basketball for a moment.
So I mean, obviously the country has been captured, I think, by women's basketball this season with Caitlin Clark, who's here in our hometown, the University of Iowa, as one of the highlighted players, but not the only one. There's all sorts of other players, too, that have really risen in women's athletics, especially in this basketball season, has really risen to the heights for media, for, you know, all the ratings, people plugging in. We've had sold out stadiums since the beginning of the season here. It's hard to get tickets. And that happens when they travel to other places. So that popularity and that desire to see her play has kind of transcended the home court, which is really fascinating to me. So you might go rooting for the other team, but you're bringing your young daughter to see this woman who's excelling by breaking the NCAA record of scoring of all time.
For both daughter, men and women, right? Yes. Like she broke it. It wasn't just in the women's arena. It was she woke all-time scoring across gender.
Yes. So bringing your young daughters, I love seeing posts by dads who are taking their young daughters because they want them to be with them in that moment and share that with them. And it's created connection between fathers and daughters, mothers and daughters, generations. I've seen, you know, grandmothers, daughters, and granddaughters together to celebrate these things. So that has been this, at least locally, and we feel it more because we're here, but this huge shift that has happened. A lot of talk about the way she plays and her passion for the game. And she's kind of plays outside the box and is, you know, she'll say, the coach allows me to be me. I feel like I can be myself on the court. And that's a gift. I don't have to tamp down my enthusiasm, my passion. And, you know, there's critics on both sides, but you look at her and you're like, that is what works for her. That's authentically her.
Yeah.
And it's drawn a lot of people to want to see her play.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the fan that you are, but I was interested to hear that people were as excited to fill out their March Madness forms for women as they were for men. And I don't think that's ever happened.
No.
People were talking more about their women's pick versus the men's pick.
Yeah.
So that's a huge shift.
Huge shift. I actually saw a meme that said, now don't forget the boys are playing two this year. So, I mean, who would have thought that would happen
right.
in our lifetime where there's like this kind of, it's
more emphasis on women's basketball right now than men's.
Yeah. So there's that. There's a new professional women's hockey league, which has come online. So in the world of athletics, which
Title IX has been out for a long time, but finally here we're getting a little more focused.
Yeah, just over 50 years. So to think about the length of time, really half a century to be in this moment from when we said things need to be equal. So think about that, 50 years. So it does feel like a shift is happening in the world of athletics and awareness around what women are capable of.
Yeah, but I think you bring up something important that we're going to circle around to later, that part of the feminine rising is there's patience and that it's a slow process. Mm-hmm. And that's actually part of the feminine is a slower process than the masculine, which is more quick and targeted. And so it actually kind of aligns that it's taking a long time for things to move in this direction.
Yeah.
Okay, so not just sports, but this was the year that the women swept the Grammys.
Mm-hmm. So music.
Yep.
Yeah. Billie Eilish, Miley Cyrus, Taylor Swift, obviously, you know, the highest grossing tour of all time by Taylor Swift. And even their music, we were talking about the actual songs that won. We all know Flowers by Miley Cyrus and What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish. So
yeah, they have very feminist tones, both of these songs or all these songs. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, and certainly Taylor's music does, right? Empowerment. And so that feels like an industry that is finally coming into more of a balance and like an elevation of women artists. So yeah, that to me is another area.
And then we did a whole podcast on the Barbie movie, but of course, Greta Gerwig, the movie earned $13.8 billion, the highest grossing film in Warner Brothers history.
1.3, sorry.
Oh, 1.38 billion, excuse me. But nonetheless, a lot of money was earned in that movie. Highest grossing film ever for a female filmmaker.
Yeah.
And yet she didn't win.
And yet, on the flip side, she did not win a Golden Globe or an Oscar. So there are still certainly barriers that maybe are very present. So my daughter lives in Minneapolis, and we were talking during election season, and she was telling me about St. Paul's city council, which is the first, think about this, major U.S. city with an all-female city council.
That's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. And I also was like, wait, that's never happened before? Because, you know, there sometimes when these things happen, you stop and think, wow, I hadn't even recognized that hadn't occurred yet. Still something to celebrate, though, for sure.
We found that single women own more homes than single men.
Mm-hmm.
So there's women are, you know, it wasn't that long ago that women weren't allowed to even apply for a bank loan to get. And so that feels like a win.
And then on a global level, I think we've seen women's rights be increased in certain countries. We've seen the opposite in many, but Spain introduced menstrual leave, which I loved.
It's amazing.
I know. France passed a law to enshrine abortion rights in the Constitution. And then the Me Too movement has now arrived, they say, in Taiwan. So in countries like that where they are advancing women's rights in a way based on where they are, that they're ensuring, and some of it is in response, frankly, to what's happening in the U.S., I believe, for some of these countries to ensure that those rights are intact.
So that's all the beautiful light stuff that has happened. And I have a teacher who I'll never forget this teaching that they shared, is that if you want to enhance and increase more light in your own body and in your own mind and heart and essence, you have to be willing to go into the dark and deal with what's there. So that has always been a big teaching, and it really is behind so much of the work that I do, is that if you want to exude more light and you want to focus on more light, you have to be as willing to deal with the dark. So we're going to turn the page and also talk about that, even though as we're seeing these successes, we're actually also seeing somewhat, I might call, regression back, right? So of course, this is happening all across the world, but there is a lot more gender disparity. And this is put out by the UN. They say that they believe it's going to take 286 years to close the global gender gap in legal protection for women and girls. So it's going to take 286 more years for us to close that gap, which can feel a little disheartening.
Very sobering.
Sobering. And, you know, clearly something that is showing there is still great gender disparity around the world.
So we pulled, you know, what's happening in different countries. And in Afghanistan, the Taliban have now banned women and teenage girls from taking part in many aspects of daily life. So they're restricting them from secondary education. So high school, think of high school and university, restricted them from working in many jobs and even moving freely outside their homes. So they have, the Taliban we know has tightened restrictions on women and girls. When some of that had been, we'd been moving forward, we've now seen that be pulled back.
In China, you can't even use specific feminist terms. They've banned just even the rhetoric, the language using feminist terms. They call it harmful speech.
And South Korea, the government's been considering a series of, they call, anti-feminist initiatives, including a pledge to abolish the Ministry of Gender Equality and Family. So some of those institutions that were created to try to advance rights, you know, the answer by many of these governments are to basically remove any layer that's trying to advance those types of rights.
Yeah, and then we got to shine the light on our good old country, the United States, women's health care, reproductive rights certainly have been majorly on the attack here in these last couple of years.
Yeah. One of the ones that, in addition, obviously, to the Dobbs decision that reversed Roe v. Wade after 50 years of precedent and paved the way for states to ban abortion, the other thing that's happening beyond just abortion and healthcare is the ability to leave a marriage. So in Arkansas, Missouri, Arizona, and Texas, you cannot get divorced if you are pregnant. I've said that to a few friends, and they're like, that can't
what?
Be right. That can't be right. And because sometimes it's not happening in your own state.
We're such a big country.
Yeah, we
and
miss
you're right.
The news, or, but that is the reality. And so that's really, that one, I mean, certainly a lot of what's happening is mind blowing. But that for me, like, was a whole new level of control that is very frightening.
Yeah.
Because a lot of women need to leave relationships.
There's no protection
reasons.
For, yeah.
And so the very nature of prohibiting that when you're pregnant is frightening for women that are experiencing domestic violence or anything that may be harmful to them, any type of abuse. And then, of course, LGBTQ rights that have been under attack in many states throughout our country for the last many years. So, yeah, in our country, we are seeing these same rollbacks at the same time that we're seeing a lot of empowerment and rising.
Both of our heads swirl a little bit, and maybe your head is swirling as you listen to this. You might even want to turn it off because you're like, these are such big things. It's like so hard to fathom. So not that we don't have a solution for this, but I think the thing that I keep coming back to is this concept of yin yang. And we all know that ancient symbol, which half of it is black, half of it is of white, but in the half is the opposite color as a circle, right? So it's this balance. It's this idea that there's a healthy tension of opposites, that the black and the white, they are opposite from one another, but they're an equal measure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are on the same parallel line, right? They are on the same line, and it's a balance of the masculine and the feminine, the light and the dark. And this is what essentially all the great wisdom traditions say is what will bring our country's balance, our body's balance. It's the road to health. It's the road to well-being. It's a healthy tension, and we need them both. We cannot abolish the feminine without the masculine getting hyper out of balance. Like, we need to balance these energies. But the real problem, and herein lies the rub of everything I think we've been talking about, our culture, we are living under 6,000 years of patriarchy, doesn't actually believe that these two things are equal, doesn't believe they're complementary, doesn't believe they should be partners in balance with one another. Instead, what's happened is we've arranged them in a hierarchy. So the masculine is always above the feminine. And so here we are in the midst of all these major issues. We often feel like we're on a roller coaster because it's a hierarchical system now instead of a balance saying, oh, these are opposite energies, but they should be able to live together and balance one another out.
Right.
And so here we are.
Yeah. And there's innately right now, I think this, a lot of talk in many countries where women do not have rights or autocracies and authoritarianism runs wild. And so when the masculine is elevated to a level that is aiming to increase control and power in any system, it has to minimize any threats to that, which women are considered and in some ways, I worry in our own country, a threat to that system. So it really is a fascinating time and a somewhat frightening time when we look at how many democracies, and I think we're down to about 30, that are solid democracies. We're actually at risk right now, according to a lot of the research about kind of our system of government. And so we want to make sure that, you know, while we're certainly not experts in this, that we're just also pointing out that this idea of balancing the masculine and feminine is also what a healthy democracy looks like.
Today's episode is supported by Dr. Yoga Mama. This is Dr. Betsy, and if you are interested in working with me in a deeper way, you can check out all the different offerings I have going on. Online courses, retreats around the world, weekly yoga classes, and my monthly Wisdom Wednesday, which is the first Wednesday of each month, where I talk about the intersection of yoga, psychology, mindfulness, and spirituality. You can find it all the information at www.dryogamama.com.
This episode is also being sponsored by Kate Moreland Coaching. If you have an interest in transformational coaching, either in an individual or group setting, please reach out to katemorelandcoaching.com.
So maybe we can lay out what does even a healthy balance look like. So let me just give you some definitions of what healthy masculine and healthy feminine is. So healthy masculine, and we all contain this energy, by the way. So this is not men versus women.
Right.
Right? This is not men versus women. So healthy masculine is when we're able to bring linear thinking, logical thinking, goals, there's structure, there's discipline, problem solving, achieving. This is healthy masculine. And we all need healthy masculine to wake up and get things accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy feminine, and it should be equal. It should be an equal measure. But listen to these words and see how you even respond to them. Healthy feminine energy is cyclical, intuitive, receptive, flowing, relational, vulnerable, feeling, wild, creative, nourishing. So we should have equal energy. We should be as nourishing and intuitive as linear and logical. But even within women, we're like, well, wait a second. I want to be more logical and
right.
I want to be more, structured and goal-oriented and disciplined. Like, that's what helps you get ahead.
Right.
That's what helps you achieve things.
Yeah. We've defined success
as the masculine.
As more masculine. So
right.
We learn that at a very young age that
that's better.
That's better.
But again, if these energies, one is not better than the other, we need them both. They're both important for us to find balance and healing. So, but let's talk about, and I think our last episode, we called it toxic masculine. And we even had a man guest come on and talk about toxic masculinity. But I actually am preferring to use now the term hyper masculinity instead of toxic. But hyper masculinity is when a community, a nation, a person becomes rigid, dominant, aggressive, overly focused on fixing, authoritarian, warlike, disconnected, and emotionally shut down. And can you see that in our culture?
Absolutely.
Right?
You can see that in world leaders.
Right.
That are leading that way.
Aggressive,
yeah.
Focused on fixing, authoritarian, disconnected. So if we are going to be in that hyper masculine, there's going to for sure be a backlash because these two are interconnected, whether we think they are
right.
or not.
Right.
Then we're going to get hyper femininity and like, listen to this and see where this relates. Unstructured, chaos, rage, an inability to make progress, devouring, destructive, prone to addiction, prone to victimhood, and emotionally volcanic. And those descriptions make me think about literally our planet, because the planet is Mother Earth. It's feminine. She is raging. She's chaotic, right?
Yes.
There's destruction happening, right? It's volcanic in many ways. So there is this backlash that we're both getting to the extremes. There's extremes happening sort of on both sides.
Right. And I can't help but feel that part of the equation often is fear. The masculine
Absolutely.
Rises, you know, it fears loss of control. The feminine
starts to rage.
So that sense of fear feels very big to me right now, on a global level, on a national level, and actually on an individual level.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like having this conversation right now is really important. I'm been having a strong intuitive sense that this year, as we move towards election season, it's just going to get more and more intense. We all know the onslaught of ads and, you know, rhetoric and vitriol that comes out. And so, I mean, I think where I believe we have to work is as without, so within. We have to be working on balancing these energies in ourself first and foremost, which then we bring to our communities and to our families and to the world. Like, we each have to take responsibility for these energies in ourselves, which then sets us up to be able to bring solutions and healing to the world at large. But if we're imbalanced, right? If we're raging, or if we're highly dominant and aggressive and controlling and perfectionistic in our own lives, we can't be of service to the larger challenges at hand.
Yeah. I also think that inner balance can help you navigate then the chaos that may be outside.
It will be outside.
Yeah. And it's like cleaning up your inside,
yes.
Like allows you to not have the highs and lows and be as impacted,
yes.
I guess, as that external energy
yes.
feels chaotic. So you can still
yes.
observe it and do your part without it, you know, shaking you to the
yeah.
core as much. So yeah, I agree with you. I think this is going to be a really, we're in challenging times, and I think it's going to get more challenging.
Yeah.
So it's part of the conversation we were having, and we're like, how are we each individually managing this?
Yeah.
How are we going to continue to look for this balance? And I remember, I want to just reflect on this. I remember recognizing the masculine and feminine, and I know you were a big part of that for me. Recognizing how I had to live so much in my masculine to find success in my career. And I remember thinking, well, I'm just done with it. Like, I don't even, like, I've did that the first half of my life. The second half is about my feminine. And I, for a period, I was trying to just lean into my feminine, heal my feminine, all of that. And just was, and I needed to focus on it for sure, because it'd been kind of lost for me.
And deficient for a long time. Yeah.
But then there was a moment where I was like, wait, I still need aspects. I still need the healthy aspects of my masculine energy. to get things done, to move forward. That's not, I'm not going to let go of all that healthy masculine energy. So
yes,
that was a big aha for me as an individual. And to think about it, then how that would work on a global level is really, it just helps frame this for me in a way that feels, I don't know if comforting is the right word, but it at least gives you a framework.
It gives a framework. Yeah. Because as I think about hyperfemininity, it's rage. And can you see how we try to fight problems with rage? It actually doesn't work because rage is an imbalanced feminine, right? And so it's, we're having to figure out, can we actually all find a deeper balance in ourselves so that we actually can then tackle these really big issues that are at hand?
Right. And so much of the feminine energy is about creativity and collaboration, which is how we solve big complex problems. So we need leaders that exhibit this feminine energy, that have the capacity to be vulnerable and bring in a variety of people to help solve problems, that are experts, that were, and I think we've moved so far away from that kind of collective, and maybe we've never been there.
Maybe.
But I've seen organizations that do that, that are healthy, that have the diverse, perspectives at the table, and they're doing it in a more collaborative way. I think that is the way forward with all these complex issues that we face in the world. And instead, we're very much in our corners, and there's this, the tension is so, it's keeping us from any solutions. It's keeping us from moving forward.
Right. So the problems that are currently created, we can't solve them from the same mindset that created them. And we've been in a masculine mindset for thousands of years. And so to solve some of these issues, we can't solve it from that linear, objective, analytical space. I really, truly believe that. And the feminine is all about uniting. Yeah. It's about interconnection and uniting. So where I'd like to kind of see if we can, because people are like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? I think the point I'd like to get across is that we are all severely feminine deficient. I don't care if you're a feminist. I don't care if you... Right. Like we've been swimming in patriarchal systems for so long that every single one of us has a deficiency in our inner feminine, and our world is starving for the feminine to come back alive. The masculine has been our standard for so long. And again, it is what it is. There's no blame here. We're not blaming anyone, but it's been the standard. And so the feminine coming back alive is going to require all of us to do some inner landscape work, right? Find more compassion, find more emotional intelligence. I feel like this is a huge piece of this. We all have to be working on making a quantum leap towards feeling our feelings, being able to acknowledge other people's feelings, being able to allow all the feelings to be there, encouraging people to feel.
Yeah, the vulnerability is
the vulnerability
so needed.
Is huge. I had an incident that happened in this last week that I want to bring forward because this is such an example of emotional intelligence or the lack of emotional intelligence. So I was at the gym. It's a highly masculinized space, and I'm very aware of that every time I walk in the door. This was near the end of a session that I was working out with a trainer, and some young man in the gym brought up an incident of a quarterback, a football player, crying at the end of a game. And later on, I actually got so triggered by this that I later on had to Google all of it. And we're not even in football season, so this happened months ago, but for whatever reason, it was brought up. So this whole conversation went on between these two men in the gym about how ridiculous it was that that quarterback cried and then went into the stands and got support from his mother and father, and that he's a leader and leaders shouldn't cry like that.
Oh.
And that it was fine for him to cry, but he needed to go do it
privately.
Privately outside in the locker room where no one could see him, and that other people were looking at him, and this was ridiculous. So Kate, how do you think psychologists in the room, probably the only female at that time working out, maybe there were a couple others, how do you think I responded?
Oh, I hope you jumped right in and said, I think it's great.
I got so frustrated. So my trainer and I went at it. I was like, this is ridiculous. Do you know how important it is for people, all humans? We all experience emotion. We all experience pain. And to be able to let that emotion come through, the worst thing you can do is repress that, push it down, pretend it's not happening. He got in my face about it. And he's like, you don't understand. He's a leader. Other people are looking at him. That was totally inappropriate. And I was like, absolutely not. I said it was absolutely appropriate. And it shows that he had emotional intelligence and ability to feel things to actually have that emotion come forward. This person didn't want to hear what I had to say. So I left. I cut my workout short. I was like, I think I'm just going to need to leave right now.
Wow. Well, and so those conversations need to happen more, I think. I think that is the epitome of what we're talking about. What have we normalized?
Yeah.
In leadership?
Or abnormalized that you're not. So this football player who spent all these months training and this game, and it's a huge game, and he loses and he allows a normal emotion to come forward, and we have made that problematic.
Yeah. Which is a ripple into every environment, right? His own relationships. Like it's healthy. We've got to make it healthy for people to show emotion and
normalize it.
And normalize them. Yes. Feeling our feelings.
So I cannot tell you how many times as a psychologist or as a teacher, people apologize to me when they start crying. I'm so sorry. If I had a dollar for every time someone has apologized to me for crying, and I always say, no, you know, like, no apologies needed. This is actually really powerful. It's exactly, let it arrive. Let it come through. But again, that is such for all of us, an instinctual man and woman alike, that when we cry, we have to apologize for it. Whereas it's actually a sign of health.
Right.
If you can cry,
it's a release.
It's a sign of health that you actually feel safe and secure, and you're allowing that intense energy to move through your system and clear its way out.
Yeah.
It's a sign of health, not a sign of weakness. And yet our whole culture still sees it as a potential sign of weakness.
And I think that's the place we're in, because when you can't show emotion, we lack empathy. We lack compassion. We aren't moved by things we should be moved by.
Exactly.
And then we're not creating change in the world and lifting others up as human beings because we are disconnected from ourselves.
We're numbed out.
And then we're disconnected from the world.
Right.
So I think you can only connect to others to the extent you're connected to yourself. We need connection right now. We need to lift. We need, and that's the masculine and feminine. We need to come together with our own energies so that the energies of the collective starts to wake up to what we need, frankly, for the human race. So,
but I feel like this feminine reclamation that we're talking about, that we all are severely feminine deficient, like vitamin deficient. We need to take our female vitamins, whether you're a man or a woman or you're trans or however you identify. We need to raise our emotional intelligence. We need to be willing to feel. We have to quit numbing ourselves out, people. Mm-hmm. I'm such a proponent of this. Like, we have to, because if we're not tapped into our emotions and our intuition, there's no way we're going to solve these big problems that are, you know, facing all of us.
And when we numb out, we do then repress. We don't feel to the level we need to feel. We're missing that connection to what's happening in front of us. And so, you know, staying in a numbed out state, while sometimes feels like I can't hold all the, you know, it's
like a coping mechanism.
It's a coping. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you can start to let go of those habits, and I know that's something I've consciously been trying to do, and you do feel things as they come up instead of repressing them and waiting for them to come out sideways, and, you know, in a situation where you don't want the emotion to come out, there's a lot of power that comes with that as an individual, to feel like you processing things in real time instead of, that makes sense. I feel totally. Like that in workplaces. I think that happens a lot in some of the work I'm doing now. I'm like, wow, that interaction was bad because of something that happened 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So,
an example of that from my own life is Monday. This past Monday, I had a lot of emotion and I didn't know where it was coming from, why I was having it. I felt a lot of sadness And I, you know, of course, could make up all these stories around, well, it must be this, it must be this. But instead, I actually literally, I did some bouncing work and I let myself ugly cry. And I knew that it was just coming through. I didn't have to attach a story, but there was something moving through and I needed to release this from my system. And I did it. And even as I was watching, I'm like, this kind of sucks right now, but it's far better than pushing it down, letting it like fester there. And then you're right, it's going to come out somewhere down the road and it's going to be 10 times as painful to feel as if I just allow myself to be in the midst of this. Yeah, it was a total pain in the butt to pause my day and all the things I needed to get done to allow this emotion to move through my system. But it did. And it's over and it's done and it moved through my system. So, you know, this is part of the emotional intelligence that I think we have to start to all tap into, not seeing our emotions as pathological or problematic, but just information and something to work with, something to let move through our systems versus repress, blow up, push down. So,
yeah. And that healthy emotional work, being healthy in your, you know, how you process emotions, being present. For me, it's all about this work for me of being present with my emotion in the moment.
Yeah.
Imagine as, you know, more and more people can do that, how that changes workplaces, schools, you know, parenting, all of those things improve. It's like a ripple impact.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the work of our time.
Yeah.
Because it,
I agree. I think emotional intelligence and embodiment, like being in the body, which is where emotions are felt. This is the work of our time. We're all like these floating heads that are disconnected from our bodies and we're numbing ourselves out left and right. And if we're going to figure out solutions to all these major word problems, we better be in our bodies and connected to our emotions because they are going to be the guidance to help us find new solutions. So, yeah.
So I'm fired up about this.
We're a little fired up about this. So my dear listeners, how do we move forward in these times where there's a lot of duality? There's a lot of extreme. Of course, there's no easy solutions, but what we do have control over always is our relationship to ourselves. And so taking good emotional care of yourself, allowing those feelings to be present, being present in the body and reaching out for the resources that, you know, you might need.
Yeah. And then just being present. I think there's something about the collective right now too, you know, taking care of one another
as far as being connection, find connection,
find, you know, belonging, because we do need each other right now.
More than ever.
Yeah. And we've got to figure out a way to tap into that, to support one another. And that community, I think, and belonging is the way forward. We need that. Our world needs that. And we are all part of one. You know, when I was thinking about all these different countries and things that are happening, there's a lot of connection to what's happening to women in Spain, women in, you know, we're people, humans in these different countries. And, you know, the pain in Gaza, the pain we're seeing around the world, we need to feel that too.
Yeah.
And we need to do our own inner work.
Yeah.
Both can exist. We can't look away, but we need to be emotionally healthy ourselves to be able to navigate.
Yeah. So again, the healthy feminine, because we're all undernourished in this area. It is cyclical. It is intuitive, magnetic, receptive, flowing, relational, soulful, vulnerable, feeling, wild, creative, and nourishing.
And I want more of that in the world.
I want more of that. I want more of that in myself. I want that more in my relationships. I want that more in the world I'm living in. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Betsy.
Thanks for joining us today. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review. Come back and rewild with us again next week.